Do you see the deals on these brands? Of course you can't. This is a podcast. But when you go to Ross this spring, you'll see brands you know at prices you love. We're talking all the shoes, hues, and ooze at 20 to 60% off department store prices. Go see the savings at Ross.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
This week's Grape Therapy is sponsored by Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It just may be the most rewarding to-do you do today. Crate & Barrel. Create your Crate & Barrel registry at crateandbarrel.com or at a store near you. And Talkspace. As a listener of this podcast, you can get $100 off your first month on Talkspace. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com or download the app. Make sure to use the code VINE. All right, Vinos, it's that time again for me to ask if you rent or own your home. And I'm sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Okay, shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing me with free samples. My allergies in Nashville, actually everywhere I've been going, have been throwing my whole week off, and I just don't feel like myself when I have, you know, the old sniffles or when I'm sneezing nonstop. And let me tell you, it makes podcasting very hard. So I've been using Astapro every time my allergies kind of flare up, and I'm always just amazed at how fast I'm back in the game. So I've been continuing to use Astapro to help, and so should you. Astapro is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray, and it's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. So it starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours, and Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. Astaproallergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Who's on with OTV?
Podcast One presents Off the Vine Grape Therapy. Caitlin Bristow is going to answer your questions, drink to your confessions, and hear what you have to say about anything Bachelor. Let's shake it up some more. Here's Caitlin.
All right, everybody, welcome to Grape Therapy. Today on the podcast, I have someone you probably already know, love, see every day on your IG feed. She is a multi-talented entertainment personality and media entrepreneur who also happens to be friggin' hilarious. Her Instagram account, at Girl With No Job, has been one of my favorite accounts to follow for years. I'm guessing you follow them too. Her, them, I don't know, she probably got a team. She's the host of the podcast and morning show, The Morning Toast. She has co-founded the podcast network, Toast News Network, and she's releasing her very own book this month where we hear all about it on today's pod, which is really interesting, and I think she takes a different approach than what she thought she would while writing a book. But we get to hear all about it. We're also getting into a quick Bachelor recap to discuss the second episode of Victoria, I mean Matt James' season. So far, very entertaining. I hope you enjoy my conversation with Claudia, aka Girl With No Job.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh my gosh. I was just like on Twitter sitting here and I just saw that more than 11,000 containers of ice cream are being recalled for having metal shards in them.
Devastating. Absolutely devastating for the ice cream community.
But you know what? Well, T's and P's, thoughts and prayers for the ice cream community. But at the same time, seeing news like that really brings me joy. I'm like, is that all we've got going today?
No, it's a great day when the only thing are people swallowing metal shards.
Right. That's like yes. A really positive way to start 2021.
Woohoo.
Yeah, I know. I've just brought a really big smile on my face. I had to bring it up on the pod. Anyways, how are you? Are you at home in your room?
I am at home in my room where I spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I haven't seen you since you became like a Mirrorball champion dancing queen around the world. And I just want to let you know, I love you and I'm so happy for you.
Oh my God. I freaking love you too. And thank you. And can you believe that it finally all happened? And you were, how long did you say justice for Kayla Bristowe?
You know what? Jackie's my sister. She co-hosts my podcast with me. We have just known about the drama behind the scenes of the Mike Fleiss of it all. And then you getting your spot taken away from you on Dancing with the Stars, which was so unfair because so many people from Bachelor Nation have been on Dancing with the Stars, which I love. But you're like one of the very few, I want to say only, with a dance background.
I know. And then you can't use that as an excuse of like, that's cheating, because it's basically a voting show on who has the most Instagram followers or the most loyal Instagram followers.
100%.
And the Nation and the Bella Army do not f*** around.
No, if the Olympic gymnasts can be considered, you know, amateurs, so can you.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And how good was Johnny Weir? He was so good.
You know, the only time where I really feel like it was a little iffy on whether or not she should have been cast as an amateur was Heather Morrison from Glee. She's like an actual trained, like, backup dancer, like, has been on tours. Like, that is a little weird.
But she didn't win, right?
I don't think so. I think there was, like, legit backlash.
That she didn't win?
No, that she was cast because she could easily be, like, a Julianne Hough. Like, she could be a pro.
Right. Yeah. I remember that. I remember being like, someone had said it was like a big shocker of how early she went home. And then that just made me think that because of the backlash, they're probably like, get her out of here.
The backlash is real.
The backlash is real. But let's talk about something else that's real, is that it's 2021 and you have a freaking book coming out.
Isn't it crazy?
Well, not really, actually. If you think about your whole journey and what you've done, it's really not that crazy. It's just like, I think you're the same as me, where when we were younger, if you would have said that we would have the ability or skill set to write a book, I would have been like, probably not. But now I'm like, it's not that crazy.
No, it's not that crazy. I mean, I was really
impressive.
I was not a smart kid in school. Like, I just was not good with like tests and writing and deadlines. I'm more of a street smart kind of gal. But when I did start like my whole journey on the internet, like I really started blogging with these like diary entries that were awful, but that is how I started. So it does feel very full circle. And when I was writing it, I was like back in my college dorm, like making blog posts about manicures, you know?
Well, it's true, because you did start off as writing blogs. So do you enjoy that writing process?
No. I mean,
I heard it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. And also, like, I didn't intend to write about like so much deep stuff in the book. And, you know, I've recently started therapy. And what I've learned is that, like, I suppress a lot of my trauma. Like, I don't want to talk about it. That's why my memory is so bad, because, like, I refuse to acknowledge the bad things that have happened to me in my life. But I thought it was really important to put a lot of it in the book. So I had to, like, dig really deep. And I would, like, literally spend hours just, like, crying and then, like, go back to work.
Oh my gosh, how therapeutic for you.
You know, I actually do think it was therapeutic in a way.
Well, I mean, it's probably a lot to unpack in a book, but then you've probably, if you're saying you have pushed all of these thoughts down and don't want to like think about them, it's forced you to. And then now you're going to therapy, which I bet, do you love it? Or I bet it's helped in some way. Cause we all know I love it.
Okay. Like I was never did therapy. And when I started like last year, I thought I was going to be so excited. It's basically just like paying someone to listen to you when all I do is talk. Like I love to hear the sound of my own voice. I think I'm like the most important person in every room. And and I had heard that like some people don't like therapy because they're confronted by, you know, their demons. And I was okay with that. Like I'm like, bring it up, demons. But I've been like shopping around. I don't like that I felt like, maybe I'm just self-conscious, but the therapists were just like making assumptions about me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Were they fair assumptions or unfair assumptions?
Unfair. And like, and I didn't even give them that information to come to the conclusion. So I feel like they like Googled me, which is like the worst thing you can do. I have like the worst Google search history ever. That's why I'm excited for my book. Like this is my side of the story. Take it or leave it. Love me or hate me. But this is my piece.
You know what? That's so true. Because if you're going to like, you know, share your story, you might as well put it in a book.
100%.
And like, there's so many things that could float around about you. And what a perfect opportunity to be like, well, here's what I think.
And there are so many things that float around about me. And honestly, for a while, my method has always been just like, keep your head down, like keep working hard. It'll go away. And it just hasn't. And so yeah. I'm so off the cuff. Everything I do, like I just wing it. Like I'm just, that's like my brand of comedy. And when I podcast, like that's just how I do it. So it was very different for me to like sit down and think before I speak, which is not something I always do, which is probably one of my biggest downfalls as a person, as an influencer, like a podcaster.
No, that's one of your greatest like attributes to the world. Like that's what, why people love you. That's why you have a brand.
Well, now it's interesting to see, like, this is what happens when I actually think thoughtful things and write them down meaningfully.
Well, I already think you articulate things very well, and your comedy and your wit and everything is so good that I can only imagine how good the book's going to be if you actually thought about all of these things you're going to say before writing them.
That's very sweet. And I probably would say this even if I didn't write the whole book myself, but like, it's so good.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited to read it. And okay, tell everybody what it's called. And I'm dying that you're naked in a bathtub because that's just so you.
It's so me. It's called Girl with No Job, The Crazy Beautiful Life of an Instagram Thirst Monster. And it's really autobiographical, like starting, you know, as a nut job that I was as a kid, growing up, starting my business, meeting Ben, my husband. We've been married for 3 years now. And then like just kind of blowing up on Instagram and like where all the places that took me. And then in 2018, getting like so canceled, like the most canceled person ever, everything taken away, money, everything. And then having to rebuild and going from that in 2018 to like literally no one in town answering my phone calls, couldn't get an agent to like save my life to at the beginning of 2020, like selling out the Beacon Theater, doing comedy. Like, so it's a story of redemption.
That is a good redemption story. And also quite the journey you have been on in your life.
You know, every day is an adventure.
What is the most shocking thing that you realized about yourself while writing this book? What were you like when you sat back? You're like, oh, shit.
I mean, I guess I had always known this about myself. But when you like when I looked at my life as a whole, like I've always had this emphasis and like this desperate need to like be well liked and be popular. And that's like from like the movies I used to watch as a kid. Like people idolize like sexy boys when they were in middle school. Like I idolized Regina George. Like I wanted to be funny and mean, and I didn't care what I said or who was upset. Like if someone laughed, like, and I got attention, like that's all that mattered. And you can see like in every facet of my career, like my obsession with popularity and how it's so toxic and but how it's like motivated like most of the decisions in my life.
I mean, I love that you're so self-aware and can say that, but at the same time, I'm like, but that's, I mean, you also are an entertainer and that's what entertainers do.
Yeah. But, and what I talk about in the book is like when your whole foundation is like built on validation from other people, and then in a second overnight, like it's gone. And like, you are so controversial everywhere you go. It's like, oh, she's here. Like, it's so earth shattering. And like how to rebuild from that, obviously in terms of your business, but like my self-esteem, like that's the stuff that hasn't come back yet. Like the business is back, but like on the inside, like I'm broken.
I'm so glad you're going to therapy. But that's, I mean, I can't even imagine how hard that would be on, you know, the ego, on your, you know, after you've worked so hard for everything you have and then having to rebuild. But I mean, you're doing it and you're telling your story about it.
And before like people come after me, like I want to make it very abundantly clear, like what happened to me, like I deserved, like I said, I made terrible jokes, like awful jokes. And I really like, I had such a lack of understanding for like the world around me. And it's so evident, like in just the content I used to put out. And I'm actually really proud of like the growth that I've had. And I'm like, growth is everything to me. Like every day you got to grow, you got to get better. And that's been like a major kind of like pillar of my adult life. But when I was writing the book, like I had to put myself back in the headspace of like the trash teenager I used to be, which was just not fun.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, I was kind of a piece of shit back in my day as well. And I too like to, I mean, I haven't experienced the cancel culture and I'm praying I never do.
I am praying for you every night, sister.
I mean, we all make such terrible mistakes through our years, and that is how you grow, and that is how you become who you are today. So that, look at you. You've been there, done that. Now you're writing a book on it.
Yeah, no. And honestly, I've become like the face of cancel culture, which I'm kind of okay with. I find like every podcast I go on, like, do you want to talk about cancel culture? I'm like, yeah, sure. Like, what else am I going to talk about? Like, it's like, that's my thing. And you know what? I feel, as much as I wish like none of that shit ever happened, I don't know if I would be like as good of a, not that I think I'm amazing, but like, I think I'm a good person. Like I really do. I think I'm nice. And I think I'm really like put a lot of emphasis on like self-growth and self-love. Like, and I don't know if I would have been that. I think I might have still been the monster I was if I had never been course corrected. So I'm not mad that it happened. I think in a lot of ways it was a very good thing for me.
Hey, I love that outlook. I'm proud of you. I think it's great.
I can't think the other way. Like if I do, like I'll just drive myself crazy.
You'll spiral. Don't do it. How long did it take you to write a book? Because I know that's a long process.
I started February 2020 and I handed in my first draft June 1st, 2020. So like 5 months.
Wait, good for you.
I mean, it's 240 pages, very snackable. Everyone can enjoy it.
Ooh, I'm gonna snack on that.
But, you know, I got like, I had a book proposal and what the book is and what it was proposed as like is two totally different things.
Really?
Because so much happens. I'm like, we got to get this book out tomorrow because things where I'm like, I'm keep adding new things I've learned.
That's so true. I keep thinking about if I were to write a book, but then I'm like, it wouldn't come out till like 2032 because I literally yesterday listened to a meditation on procrastination to procrastinate working.
Of course.
I was like, ooh, that meditation's for me. And this, if I listen to this, I won't have to work.
The literary world is full of patient people. And the fact that I've made it to the, and I'm 2 weeks away now, like the fact that I made it to the day of my book coming out, like I'm the most impatient person ever. Like I cannot wait for the microwave. I cannot wait for anything. So the fact that I made it here, like is probably one of my most, like the things I'm most proud of.
I totally feel that microwave comment right now. Ugh. It's like 3 minutes when I put my, I'm only thinking of what the 3 minutes, cause I just did this like an hour ago, but my heating pad for my sore muscles that are still sore from dancing.
I love heating pads.
I put it in the microwave for 3 minutes. Hmm. And I was like, it's the longest 3 minutes of my life waiting for a let alone if it's good food.
I would literally rather eat like food that's like hot on the outside and like frozen in the middle than wait like 3 more minutes.
I am right there with you. And Jason is the opposite and he over microwaves everything and it drives me nuts.
And does it splatter all over the microwave and then you have to clean it?
Yeah.
That's my life.
That's exactly what happens. That's
so annoying.
I love those TikTok trends that are going around where it's like, this is our apartment and my boyfriend decorated it perfectly with, see how he just leaves his jacket like laying so softly on the side of the bed, stunning, which is so stunning. Chic. And here he has his McDonald's cup, which he placed perfectly in the center.
Gorgeous.
That's so funny.
I'm obsessed with TikTok, like to a sick point.
Okay. Like how many hours could you sit and scroll?
You know, let me just pull up my screen time for you and let you know.
I've never done this before.
It's so sick.
How do you
sick.
Pull up your screen time, by the way?
It's like an app. Oh, here. If you swipe all the way, it'll pull up for you in your settings. So today, let's say this week, I have been on TikTok. Oh, not so bad. I'm averaging about an hour and 21 minutes a day.
Oh, that's not bad.
No, actually, I'm quite surprised. It's the beginning of the week. That's why. Oh, so that's just for the last 2 days. I must have been busy.
No, that's good because I think I spent 2 hours on TikTok scrolling today trying to like see what funny things I could do.
I've had to stop like bringing my phone into the bathtub because like I'll never get out of the tub. Like I'll just scroll TikTok for hours.
Yeah, I feel that.
And your TikTok's good.
It's really, it actually makes me feel so like, I usually think I'm a creative person. Mm-hmm. I get on TikTok and I'm like, I am a dud. Like I've got nothing going for me on TikTok.
And like, how old do you feel? I feel like a grandma.
The oldest. I feel like the oldest person on TikTok until I see other people making fun of themselves for being old on TikTok. And then I'm like, oh, it's my crew. And then I feel even older because then you're like, oh, I'm like one of them. Like, yes, totally. What I look like when I'm on TikTok.
Totally. And it's like the Gen Zers refer to the millennials as old. I'm like, we refer to Gen Y, the baby boomers, like we refer to them as old. Now we're them.
I know. They do those things like how old Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is, and then they're like, do you feel old yet? I'm like, yeah, I already did, but thanks for rubbing it.
Thanks for ruining my day.
Yeah, thanks for that. You also have a special that came out in 2020.
Yes.
2020 was a great year for you. You have a special that's it's called Disgraced Queen.
Yes. So you came to my show, I believe, Where was it?
Nashville.
Nashville. Oh, that was fun. And that was like one of the first stops on the tour. So I went on a comedy tour for like 2 years because I just wanted to do comedy. And I was like doing small comedy clubs. And then it started to get bigger and bigger. So I just literally kept going. I did like 90 shows. And I document that in the book a lot too. So at one of my last shows, I recorded it and it's available on Amazon Prime. And it's like, honestly, I actually hate watching myself, even though I'm the biggest narcissist of all time, but I watch my special every night. Like, I love it.
Oh my gosh. Wait, I'm going to watch it. It's on Amazon Prime. That's big time.
It's really, really exciting. And I just can't believe like my face is on TV. You know, I have no right being there.
Your face is supposed to be on TV. Your humor is supposed to be on TV and you are fucking funny.
Stop. I love you.
And smart. Because you have to be smart. You have to be smart to be funny.
But you know what? As I feel like I've grown up, I talk about this a lot on the podcast because like when you're growing up in like high school, there's such an emphasis placed on academics and it's so competitive and it really chips away at your self-worth. Like if you're not doing well, like I was a very below average student and it really made me feel like I wasn't smart. And then when I started to be successful in my business, I'm like, wait, maybe there's different types of smarts.
Oh my gosh. I actually relate to that so hard. I was the exact same way. I was a terrible student. Things did not register for me. Numbers were not my thing. And getting homework done, I got so overwhelmed. That's what started my whole anxiety in life. And I was like not a good student at all. And I was like, you're meant to think if you don't have that education, if you don't have those smarts, that you aren't going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, I'm high school. I'm done school. Like that's it for me. I'm not, school is not for me. And so then it made me question my intelligence 100%. Through my years. And I almost dumbed myself down through my 20s.
Right.
And now I'm like, same thing as you, running businesses and doing this stuff. And I'm like, wait,
am I smart? Yes. You want to know where I figured this out? When I went to my high school reunion, and like I said, I really wasn't smart. And I went to a very competitive high school where it was like, you knew who the smartest kids were. A bunch of kids in my grade went to Harvard. And when I went, you know, you expect like the kids who were like geniuses to be like rocket scientists. And they were all just like, you know, having jobs like everyone else. And there was a kid actually in my grade who invented this like brilliant medical software or virtual reality, like this huge, and he like is like the most successful kid in our grade. And he wasn't really like in, you know, honors classes. Like he was just a standard kid. And it just goes to show you like, of course school is important, but I definitely feel like as kids, like you put so much of an emphasis on like grades when it's like, it just chips away at you.
It does. And it's, nobody's ever sitting there grilling you on do what you love, do what makes you happy. Like
follow your dream.
Nobody says that. It's always like, well, you got to get this or got to get a tutor and you got to get good grades. And then those people are like, you know, what do you have to show for it? Debt?
Right. No, you're right. Like it's so toxic. That's like also when I was writing the book, like you just realize like growing up, like you just realize so much stuff about your childhood is like such bullshit, you know?
Oh my gosh. It almost makes me want to parent very differently than I thought I ever would. Like, I think about this all the time, even with my niece and nephew. And when my niece comes to me with like boy problems or like girls being mean, I want to be like, oh my God, them. Like you won't even remember that. And I want to get all like real talk with them, but that's obviously not the right way to approach it. Maybe it is. I don't know.
I think it's fine.
tell my 13-year-old niece. To just
my kids are going to be like, fuck you, like getting kicked out of school, like fucking nut jobs. And I'm going to be like, mommy's so proud of you.
I heard it on a podcast.
Stop. Oh my God. Honey, you don't need to go to high school. Just start a podcast.
Exactly. Do what you love. I get why you wouldn't want to not encourage your kids to like get good grades.
It's all about like just, of course, like, you know, working hard and striving for excellence. But part of growing up is realizing there are different types of smart, and it doesn't mean getting 100 on a test.
Yeah. I feel that.
This episode was sponsored by Crate and Barrel Wedding Registry, Flutes and Coupes, Cooking and Cabernet, Sundays and Sleeping In. Make your home undeniably yours with a Crate and Barrel Wedding Registry. Whether we can attend them or not, marriages and weddings are still happening. People are still falling in love out there, and wedding gifts still need to be given. Love doesn't stop just because there's a pandemic, everyone. And whether you're movie buffs, budding home chefs, wine lovers like me, Crate and Barrel can help you create a wedding registry that fits your unique partnership. You can even reference sample registries other real couples have created to inspire you. Not gonna lie, I know I'm already gonna use Crate and Barrel for my wedding registry one day, and I already know there's 100 things I'm picking up. I love Crate and Barrel. That's why I'm telling my family to get these gifts for us. Anything from Crate and Barrel, I'm a happy camper. Okay, shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing me with free samples. My allergies in Nashville, actually everywhere I've been going, have been throwing my whole week off, and I just don't feel like myself when I have, you know, the old sniffles or when I'm sneezing nonstop. And let me tell you, it makes podcasting very hard. So I've been using Astapro every time my allergies kind of flare up, and I'm always just amazed at how fast I'm back in the game. So I've been continuing to use Astapro to help, and so should you. Astapro is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray, and it's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. So it starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours. And Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. Astaproallergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. All right, everyone, we're going to take a break. I'm still having a hard time believing it's 2021 right now. First of all, never thought I'd ever say goodbye to 2020. Felt like it was the longest year that never ended, and not really in a good way. But I am actually feeling hopeful about the new year because I've been talking through it with my therapist, and they've been helping me to be grateful for all that I have in my life right now, which is a lot. I've been very open on the podcast and just in general about going to therapy. Could not be a bigger fan of talking to an actual professional and doing something great for yourself and your mental health. It's so important. So important to take care of yourself. And professional counseling through Talkspace helps you do just that. Talkspace lets you send and receive unlimited messages with your dedicated therapist in the Talkspace platform 24/7. With Talkspace, you set goals with your therapist. They hold you accountable, make sure you're really progressing. And therapy can just help you shift your perspective, find tools to cope in difficult times, and just be a guiding light. Talkspace has thousands of licensed therapists with years of experience in over 40 specialties. Yeah, 40. So you can find what you're looking for. Secure, it's private, actually a fraction of the cost of in-person therapy, which is incredible. My therapist gave me a practical guidance that kind of changed my life for the better. And you can get the support you need too when you check out Talkspace. As a listener of this podcast, you'll get $100 off your first month with Talkspace. To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com or download the app. Make sure to use code VINE to get $100 off your first month and show your support for the show. That's VINE and Talkspace.com.
Okay, this festival and concert season, it's all about the boots. We all know it. And I've got just the place for you to find your perfect pair. They are Tecovas, okay? They've got everything you need to rock that festival style. But really what sets Tecovas apart is their first wear comfort, okay? Seriously, there's little to no break-in period. So you can strut your stuff in style right out of the gates. Plus their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. So stop at your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff. Are you kidding me? They're at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. That's what I did. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. So if you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They're offering free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. So go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
This is Off the Vine, Grape Therapy.
Before we get into the episode of The Bachelor, Bachelorette, because that's what I recap when this podcast comes out, I have to ask you, because you're always my favorite person to talk to about like pop culture and things going on in that world, because I'm always out of the loop, but I see it and I'm like, oh, I don't even know. Like, I don't know who that person
is. I can explain anything you want.
I know. That's why I go to you. Okay. Harry Styles and Olivia Wilde's new romance. Is it for PR or is it real?
Well, so a lot of people are, you know, inclined to think it's for PR because they are working on a project together. Olivia's directing him in a film. But Harry Styles and Olivia Wilde are very, very A-list. And I do believe those types of shenanigans are really reserved for B-list. And I think they might be too good for that. Like, Harry Styles doesn't actually need more press. So I think he's above that. I think it's real.
Okay, I like that. Kim and Kanye's potential divorce. He said something, didn't he? Didn't he like say something on Twitter? Probably, that's what Kanye does. But do you think it's actually happening or are they just on the rocks?
I do. And I actually think, like, as a culture, we should be like a little bit more sensitive when we speak about them, because I feel like people love to make jokes, blah, 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 because they're the butt of every joke. And that's just kind of why they're so big. But I think that a lot of people can probably relate to Kim's, you know, journey these last few years being married to someone with who struggles very publicly with mental health issues. And and I do think that maybe it's, you know, she's had enough. I'm devastated personally. Like, I've been crying wearing black all week. Like, it's the worst news I've ever heard. I live, breathe, eat, sleep, and die for the Kardashians. Like, I will defend them on the battlefield in the comment section till the day I die. And I'm so sad for Kim. Like, and of course, like, I'm a child of divorce. It fucking sucks. Like, four kids, like, it's actually really sad, like, when a family, you know, splits up.
I actually agree with you. I was reading comments because, I mean, I knew what the comments were going to be. Oh, shocker. I'm surprised they lasted this long.
Jeffree Star.
Well, Kanye's losing his mind. No, he's actually suffering from a mental illness. It actually made me really sad, too, because you can tell that they really tried hard over the years. Like, they've been vocal about struggling. They have kids. You know that Kim doesn't want to go through another divorce.
No.
But, like, good for her for being strong.
Yes.
And I, you know what I mean? And I think she tried really hard with him. I always try to, like, sound like we're friends, but you know what I mean? Like, they're very obviously very public.
Yeah,
and we know a lot about them.
And, like, when Kim sprung on the scene, like, it was so much a part of her brand to be, like, a socialite, dating a bunch of guys. But now she's really like a mom, and she's 40 now. And I just feel like she's really not interested in, you know, running around dating. I mean, again, I don't know her either, but, like, that's just the vibe that I get. And I'm sure she wanted this to work just as much as everyone else, you know, and I'm devastated for her, and I will be here to support her when she's ready to talk to me.
Yeah. If she wants to call us after listening to this podcast, we're here for her.
Crazier things have happened.
Like, what?
A lot. I don't know. Fucking crazy shit happens every day in 2021.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean. I thought you had a good juicy story for me. Okay.
Oh, I did meet her once. I acted like fucking animal. Here's the thing. I went to this. I work a lot with the Gift of Life Bone Marrow Registry. And if anyone listening to this podcast is not in the Bone Marrow Registry, it is so easy. Please look up Gift of Life, Be the Match. It's so easy.
I'm writing this down right now.
Oh my God. You have to. You could literally save a life with just, like, putting a Q-tip in your mouth. Like, it's so easy.
Done.
And so I went to, like, a charity event, and Kim actually was really helpful in this one case. Someone, it's all based on your background. So, like, I'm most likely to match bone marrow with someone who's Ashkenaz, Jewish, Eastern European. And it goes with your background. So there was someone who's, like, he went kind of viral on the internet because he had a very interesting background and could not find a match. And Kim heard about it and, like, posted about it, and, like, over 10,000 people registered, and they didn't end up finding a match for the person. And really, unfortunately, he passed away. But became, like, a huge advocate for bone marrow registry, and we were both at this event, and they promised me I could take a picture with her. But, like, obviously no one was, like, thinking about me when Kim Kardashian could, like, walked in the room.
Right.
I saw her leave, and I hightailed out of there, chased her down, and took a picture with her in the most unflattering lighting of all time, in the ugliest photo ever. And then when she left, I followed her out the door, and I got in some of the paparazzi pictures behind her. And the one that she posted, you could literally see, like, my ass. Like, I was wearing a blue jumpsuit. You just see, like, my big juicy ass. And that's it. But it was iconic.
I wish you would have just tagged your butt.
I did.
Oh. Wait, is this, can I, like, is it on your Instagram or is it Googleable?
Which, the pictures?
Anything.
I will send them to you, honey. I got you.
I want to see this terrible lighting, because I'm like, could Kim Kardashian look bad in terrible lighting?
So glad you brought that up. Makeup by Mario, who is her, like, you know, go-to glam. He's amazing. He commented on the Instagram and was like, wow, you really did me dirty with this lighting, because he did Kim's makeup. And, like, she actually looked bad. I actually want to say she got caught in the really bad lighting. I got caught in, like, the lighting. I actually looked more beautiful than her. And that's how you know it was really bad lighting.
Oh my gosh, that's some serious lighting. That's amazing.
It was the best day of my life. Like, I'll never forget it.
I have told this story so many times on my podcast, but I totally embarrassed myself in front of the Kardashians too.
Which?
At the People's Choice Awards, all of them.
What happened?
All of them. I walked right up to them and started bowing down like they were like...
I don't think that's weird.
Oh.
Really? I feel like they would appreciate that. Like someone who's just, you know, silently letting them know, like, you guys are queens, but I won't bother you. Oh, here's my bow.
And then I went on. Then I went on to tell them that I fall asleep to them every night because it's comforting.
Stop. That's embarrassing.
And Courtney was like, oh my gosh, thank you.
Oh, wow.
So nice. I was okay. And then I walked away like, idiot.
Weren't you surprised at how petite they are? Like short.
Petite.
They are
so tiny.
And
like
so
I think
gorgeous.
I was taller than most of them.
Yeah. No, and I was too. And I'm literally 5 feet.
I seriously, aren't they like 5'1"?
Kim is literally like 5'1" and she was wearing heels. Like she's so short.
Wild.
Crazy.
Stars. They're just like us.
Short.
What was my, Ariana Grande, is this new engagement going to last?
I hate to be a pessimist and like be like, she's always getting engaged, but me thinks no.
Yeah. Okay. Sex in the City reboot officially happening, but without Kim Cattrall. Your thoughts?
I mean, would you remake, you know, Mean Girls without Lindsay Lohan? Like, it's so silly. Like, I actually love Sex in the City, and I would pretty much watch the women do anything. Like, even though those movies were trash, I personally loved them. So I'll watch anything. But, like, of all the characters to go, it being Samantha hits particularly hard.
Yeah, I agree. And how are they going to address it? Because they have to.
They have to. And it's just devastating. Like, no one was more real, or honestly, more, in the words of Tanya Rad, no one gave off more modern woman energy than Miss Samantha Jones. Like, owned her own business, like, would not be controlled by men while the other three of them are, like, stirring about men. Like, she was the true, like, progressive feminist icon that we needed. And the fact that she's not returning is, like, what's the point?
Oh, I love that outtake. That was a hot, hot take.
It's a hot take, but I'll still watch it.
See, I never watched it in the first place. So I'm like, I mean, obviously, I know I'm insane.
What?
I tried to. I went back. I tried. I could not get into it.
I've never heard that. That's a hot take. Like, I've never heard anyone say that.
I'm not sure what's wrong with me.
Something, though, for sure.
I know.
That's crazy.
I mean, I know. And you would think it'd be right up my alley, like girls drinking and like.
Yeah. Dating. Work fabulous.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I was just too like I didn't get it because I grew up in such a small town in Canada that I was just like, that was not relatable to
me.
Did you
make it past season one?
No.
Okay. Season one is really weird. They changed the format after season one, but during season one, they would like address camera, like break down the fourth wall. It was a weird format. And I can actually see someone starting season one and being like, this show's fucking weird. I actually think you might want to persevere.
Okay. Do I have to watch season one to understand season two?
Well, no, all you need to know is that she meets Big in season one and like, she just can't shake him.
Okay. That's all I need to know. Or I could even just go to like a YouTube. I'm sure there's like a season one recap
round
video.
Up, 100%.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to give it another shot.
Okay, good. I'm so excited.
Okay.
Let me know.
I'll let you know how I think. Okay. So we saw Matt's second episode this week of The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Obviously you're watching because you always have the best commentary. Now here's my question for you, because I think we're kind of in the same boat here as you know, growing into these emotionally mature women that we are becoming. And I'm like, it's so hard to be nice to Victoria. It is so hard to see her side. I know the show's edited. I know that it's produced. I know things can be manipulated, but it can only do that so much. And I just want to reach out to her so bad and be like, how do you defend this? How?
Yes.
And like, tell me the real story, because something is not adding up. And when people are like, she's got to be a stage actress or like an undercover producer, I'm like, sadly, you're not, because that news would eventually come out. Yeah. There, people would put things together. It's not. That's really just how she's behaving, and I want to know what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, as a Bachelor fan, and you obviously been on The Bachelor like multiple times, like, you know that editing is like a huge part of it. And I actually feel like now as a seasoned watcher, I can watch and know when things are being stitched together. A lot of last season, just because of the continuity with Claire and Tayshia, I could see the choppy edits, copy and paste. Like, I'm actually have a good eye for that. And I was trying to like really give her the benefit of the doubt and be like, okay, what did they take out of context? But at the end of the day, like, she said that shit and she did that shit.
I know.
But it is really hard to judge a fight between two people when you didn't see the fight. You know, their roommates obviously had an argument in the bedroom. And this is just me being devil's advocate, even though Victoria is definitely crazy. Yeah. When she confronted Marianne, is that her name?
Yeah.
When she confronted Marianne, Marianne actually apologized. And if you didn't do anything wrong, why would you apologize?
That's true. I was like, is she Canadian? Because she was like, sorry. And then I was like, what is she sorry for? Is she, what's going on?
I'm like, don't be a wussy. Like, you didn't do anything. So now I'm like, well, you know what? We didn't see the scene. I'm just trying to be fair, you know? We didn't see the scene. And this girl did apologize. But all the other evidence, the circumstantial evidence against the people versus Victoria is not looking good. Like, she's truly insufferable.
But do you think she's playing a role to like get attention on TV? Because this is another reason why I don't feel as bad sending out all my bitchy tweets, because I went to her Instagram and I watched her story and she's like reposting people like say things about her. Like, she's like reposting. She's almost like embracing the role. Yeah. She turns off all mean comments.
Yeah.
Only ones that like refer to as the queen she keeps. And I'm like, is this a fun game for her? Because I'll keep playing.
Well, it's a really interesting strategy, because obviously there's wonderful outcomes that can come from being on the show. And the longer you stay on the show, the more opportunities there are going to be, the more Instagram followers. And I think that this is the most cast season yet. They have like 30 girls. It's really hard to stick out. And this is one way of doing it. I think she took like the Corinne method and took it way too far, because Corinne, say what you want about her, and I loved her, she was never really mean. She was crazy. But she wasn't mean. So I think Victoria saw the success. Corinne like blew up. She went on Ellen. Like, everyone loved Corinne. She only came in fourth place. Like, Corinne had a real life after the show, even though she didn't win, because she was memorable. And I think Victoria's taking that strategy like a little too like seriously and taking it too far. But she just wants to be remembered. And honestly, I think that if it weren't for that, she might have been sent home already. And she knows what's on the table and she wants the followers.
I agree. I think that's also why she wore the dress. Okay, like, people are going to talk about this.
Explain to me your tweets about the dress.
Oh,
what's your theory?
Well, my theory is because I fell for an Instagram ad once.
I remember.
And I was like, okay, that's, you know, that there's a dress that looks super cute on these models on Instagram. So I'll probably look like that if I wear it.
Of course.
And then you get it and you're like, oh, this was definitely just like hand stitched by somebody in high school in home ec class. And like, somehow it made it to its way to my house. But that's what I think happened to her, because I found the dress and it looks so beautiful on this model. And it just wasn't working for Victoria. And I hate to say that, because I feel like a mean girl.
I also but feel I like
wear it on purpose.
In general, the outfits and the fashion have really been elevated this season, because we're in the midst, we're in the presence of like fashion royalty, with Kit being Cynthia Rowley's daughter, which is something I'll truly never really understand.
Wait, who is this?
Kit, the blonde girl.
Is whose daughter?
Cynthia Rowley.
Who's that?
I mean, she's like a huge fashion designer. Like, Kit is a socialite. She's loaded. Like, she had 25,000 Instagram followers before this. She watched the season premiere with a bunch of celebrities. Like, she runs in a fabulous circle of people. I don't know why she went on The Bachelorette or The Bachelor. Like, I don't know what she wanted to gain from it.
True love?
Good one. I like that. That's good.
Thanks. I'm here all night. That's just so, I didn't know that. And of course, I don't know anything about fashion. I'm wearing a fucking Bills shirt right now.
I actually think that's the coolest sweater. I was just watching your Instagram stories.
It is a really cool sweater. I love it. But I've never like been into like high-end fashion.
Me neither.
Like, I know anything about it. But that's, I do know that that dress Victoria was wearing was not supposed to go with that bra.
Oh, no, of course. And her wedding dress, her bra was sticking out too. She was like two for two. And that's just one of my pet peeves, like when people's bras stick out. Like, they make so many different types of bras.
Please, anyone go back and absolutely destroy me, grill me, roast me, because my fashion was atrocious. when I was on The Bachelor. So I'm not saying I was any better. I just have some questions.
Yeah. But no, I feel you. Like, I definitely feel like in the last few years, the way I talk about The Bachelor, like I used to just like say crazy things, like mean things too. And these are like real people. And I think maybe it was like becoming friends with you and like other people from Bachelor Nation that kind of like softened me up. I'm like, you can't be such a bitch. Like you have to filter yourself.
I know. And I keep thinking, because every time there's someone I don't like, I didn't like Bennett. And then I had him on my podcast and I was like, oh my gosh, he is like such a sweetie pie.
100%.
So misunderstood.
Yes. I have had that as well. People come on the podcast and I'm like, you are a delight. Like Margaret, do you know Margaret Josephs from The Real Housewives of New Jersey?
No.
She's a queen. And she came on her first season and I just like literally hated her so much, like with a passion. And then she came on the show and she was one of this, like this literally an angel. Like she's one of like my best friends now. Like she's an angel. And it's just like crazy how, of course we all know, you know, reality TV is manipulated, but to see it in real person versus real life, and you feel awkward and you feel bad.
I do. Like, I kind of lost a little bit of sleep about it last night, because I was like, I was really ripping on her. And I don't usually do that. I usually give everybody the benefit of the doubt while watching that show. And I was just like, just going nuts, because it was so easy.
But she's making it really hard.
Yeah, I know. I know. And I just want to know all sides of the stories. But then at the same time, I'm like, this is why people watch the show. But I hope people are watching knowing, like, there's always got to be someone. Yeah. Like, don't be too hard on her where you're like, sending her death threats. Like some people get, you know what I mean? Like,
well, that's we can like, trip her a little bit. You know, the perfect example is like Olivia Caridi. Cause she was really villainized. And then you meet her in real life. She's so quiet and almost like a little nerdy and sweet. And it's like, you are not this girl. Like, it's shocking. And I think like what Bachelor Nation, how they treated her, like really set a precedent for like moving forward, like to be nicer, because she got like the worst of it.
She really did. And she suffered very badly from it. And that's why I almost hope that Victoria is like in on this joke.
Yeah.
Because she seems to be really running with it. Mm-hmm. And it makes me feel better, because I do worry about people's mental health when they come off any kind of TV show.
Yeah.
Because we all struggle with demons.
Yeah.
And when you go on a show like that and all of a sudden you go from surrounding yourself with the people who don't make you feel like you're the worst to America hating you, it can take its toll on your mental health, and then you can just go into a spiral.
And it happens literally overnight.
Overnight.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I hope, I don't think she listens, but I did see that. I think she watched my Instagram story, and I think that's why I lost some sleep last night.
Oh God, that's fucking terrible.
I know. Do you think I should like message her and be like, JK.
Honestly, just leave it alone. Just
let it go. Because then I'm like, well, what if she's awful next week? And I'm
right. You're like DMing with her.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Yeah,
I can't do that.
So. All right, Vinos, I'm here to ask you the question we all know I ask every podcast. And that is, do you own or rent your own home? I'm sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to Geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com.
You're listening to Off the Vine, Grape Therapy.
Okay, I'm trying to think. I'm like, that basically was the Victoria show. Like, not a lot to recap, because
for me as the president of the Brie fan club, last night was a great episode for me, because I love Brie, and we got a one-on-one with Brie, and I think she's the most gorgeous girl like I've ever seen in my life. Like beauty that's just not real. Like it's crazy. I thought they had such great chemistry, you know, talking about their backgrounds and like the similarities between like how they were brought up and how they like always gravitated towards their friends with big families and they can't wait to create their own family. I just thought it was like so sweet and so real. And I love her. I have a feeling she goes very far. I don't know the ending. I would never spoil it. I have a feeling she goes very far, but I have a feeling Matt doesn't pick her. I don't know why. That's just my feeling.
Yeah. I think she goes very far. I'm a very big fan of her. I think she is just like this like classical, beautiful, like strong woman who just doesn't even like know that she has a light shining in from the heavens on her at all times.
That is so well said.
Yeah. Thank you.
I love her.
Yeah, I do too. Who else are your like favorites right now?
Love Rachel. Ben calls her Cami Mendez because she looks just like Cami Mendez from Riverdale. I think she's gorgeous. She didn't get a lot of airtime last night, but she was definitely a star on the first episode.
Wait, I'm blanking on who that one is.
She has kind of thick eyebrows. She was on the group date and she got sent home and she was like so bummed. Not home, back to like the mansion. She was so bummed that her team didn't win.
What's her name?
Rachel. R-A-C-H-A-E-L.
Oh, wow. Curveball.
She's so pretty. And Jimmy Kimmel, I think, predicted her as like one of the winners.
Oh, really?
Like one of his top three.
Bachelor. Okay. And then who's the other girl that... Oh, Sarah was... I mean, who didn't love her after that episode? And I was like, don't show her having a panic attack at the end. Because oh my God, I feel like that was genuine. And we all know that like... if we don't see an ambulance, it's like, oh, it's not really a true Bachelor season without an ambulance.
I know. I felt like her pain was so real. And I've actually like had a panic attack before and it's so fucking scary. And
terrifying.
When Matt came over, I honestly wanted to like tell him, go away. Like she needs to be, she doesn't want to be seen like this. Like it's very dark when you're in a panic attack. Like you need to be around people who are really make you feel safe. And I would just honestly wanted Matt to go away because like, she's probably like now even having more anxiety because she's like embarrassed at this guy she's trying to date, like seeing her having a panic attack. And it was just, honestly, the whole thing gave me anxiety.
It gave me anxiety too. I felt so terrible because I had put myself in her shoes and I just keep going like, I just want to be either, no, I actually always want to be alone if I have a panic attack or if I am like, I want nobody to be around me. I don't want anyone touching me. I don't want anyone asking, are you okay? Because that triggers me and even more. If someone says, are you
okay? And then like telling you to breathe, like you breathe, shut up.
I hate that.
Me too.
Take a deep breath. No, that's actually the whole problem is I can't. I hate that. I hate when people, it's like when you're crying and someone, or if you're about to cry and then they're like, oh, are you okay? You're going to start bawling.
And it makes
like
you cry more because now you embarrass me.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, well, I'm sure she's okay, but I hope that she like wasn't too badly affected by that.
Yeah,
because
but she's,
that is scary.
She's cute. I really liked her on her date. She was wearing a lot of makeup. And when she went to kiss Matt, he pulled out and his nose was covered in foundation. It was so funny. That's like a real problem I can relate to.
That actually was funny. I didn't notice, but I saw a TikTok about
me
it.
Me too.
And I was like, oh, damn, that totally happens to me. Anytime I like, well, I mean, now it's always Jason's shirt, but anytime I was like with Bachelorette or I would always be like awkwardly hugging people because I don't want to get makeup all over them.
Yeah.
And it is a real thing.
You know, logistically, I did have a question about that. Like in terms of wearing lipstick and like shiny, sticky lip gloss, that was not a thing, right? Oh. As the Bachelorette.
You should have seen, I wore on my one-on-one date with Chris Soules with Jimmy Kimmel, I wore bright red lipstick and had freaking... He had red all over his face and it was, I don't know why I thought that was a good idea.
No, that's not a good idea. But I always wonder, cause I never see anyone wearing like really shiny gloss, but that must be like a logistical detail.
You probably learned from me.
It was
probably the producer like, don't do what Caitlin did back freaking 5 years ago.
I feel like they learned a lot from you.
I like to think so, but
100%. You were one of my favorite bachelorettes. Like, honestly, because, and you know what? Whenever we recap on the podcast and I talk about my favorite thing is when people are on dates and they're just not feeling it. And they stop the date and they're like, you know what? Nothing against you. I don't want to waste your time. You have a family, you have a job. Like, I'm going to send you home because I don't want to waste your time. I know it feels maybe a little mean in the moment, but it's honestly the most respectful thing you could do, just like not wasting people's time. And you did that on multiple occasions. And it's honestly one of my favorite things. And I've started to see other people who do it, but when you did it, I was like, yeah, send him home, bitch.
You know what's funny is I'll never forget sitting at a fireplace sending Clint home, and Bennett, my main producer, was behind Clint going, no, do not send him home.
We
yet.
Need him.
And I was like, okay, got it. And then I looked at him, I was like, can I walk you out?
No, you can always tell when the lead is listening to the producers and when the lead is not listening to the producers, and it's always more interesting when they don't.
That's why it's interesting watching Matt, because he's like a deer in headlights in as the Bachelor, but also doing a really, really great job for being so new. But because he is well-spoken and he's really sweet and it's like he's kind of quirky and like doesn't really get it. And I kind of like that.
Yeah. Well, he's like a little too nice. Like when Marianne was like in at the rose ceremony cocktail party before she got into the fight with Victoria, she was like, I don't know. I just feel like you don't want me here. And it's like, well, obviously not, 'cause you didn't get a date. Like it was just like frustrating. And I was like, You're just
I felt the same way. I was like, there's 30 other girls. He doesn't even. And then the orchid thing, he brought an orchid. I'm like, oh, he didn't remember that was your favorite flower.
He pulled that orchid out of the production warehouse with all the props. Like, it was a last minute thing. I just felt like that was such a lame thing to say. It's like, you're one of 30 girls. Like, so many girls don't feel like Matt even remembers their name. It's night two. Like, it just bothered me a lot.
Yeah, I didn't like it. It was too, like, you gotta play the game a little bit. Like, you know, even if you're feeling wildly insecure, because all of you will be, it's, that's the nature of the show. You gotta play it cool the first couple of weeks because you are one of many.
She showed her cards too soon.
Yeah, it was very unfortunate. But I will say I'm excited that the hot tubs are back because I really miss them in La Quinta.
Now, let me ask you something about La Quinta, because to me, La Quinta was such a dark place, like, you know, emotionally for everyone. And in terms of budget, it was incredibly low budget. I mean, the taxi date made out of cardboard, like, it was just pathetic. And now we're at Nema Colin, which is sickeningly gorgeous. And there's planes and ATVs and hot tubs in the middle of nowhere, fireworks. The production value and the budget seem to be a huge disparity.
Well, yeah, because they saved it all from La Quinta.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. So now they have more money is what you're saying. Because they saved.
They're like, wow, we didn't travel. We didn't have any, like, there. It was like they had no budget. They had Chris Harrison, like, running around doing everything. Like,
on a horse.
It felt very low budget. I was like, this is weird. And then.
And, like, the way that, like, Tayshia rolled up to La Quinta, like, in the pool, whereas, like, Matt rolled up in, like, a G-Wagon and then a red Corvette. Corvette. How been a motherfucker?
Oh,
love that dance.
Don't get me started. That is like, okay. After Boo Bitch, I'm a Ghost. Like, I was so hooked on that for so long.
Me too. And I was like sweating doing it. And I'm like, ooh, bitch, I'm a ghost. Like, I was.
And I didn't know. I didn't see the tutorial on how to do it. So I just like have, you know, what's funny. Oh my gosh. I got to show you this. This is good.
The thing about TikTok is like there's a tutorial for everything. It's so helpful.
There is a tutorial for everything. Look how many drafts I have.
Oh my God. How many drafts do you have total?
Oh,
let me see how many I have.
Oh, wow. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Okay,
14.
Wait, Caitlin, it says it on your profile. It'll say in the top left, drafts, colon.
15.
I have 81.
Oh my gosh. Will they ever see the light of day?
No, because, you know, I love to sing on my TikTok. I think I have like the most amazing voice when I have like a pretty average voice, but I'll perfect it. I will perfect it 100 times, but I keep the ones that are like drafts because I like to watch myself singing late at night.
I do that too, but then I get embarrassed when it's the dancing ones because I'm like, I'm better than that.
Yeah, no, but you're a good dancer. So honestly, your TikTok is fire. What I've learned about myself in the last year is that I don't think I'm a very good dancer. Like, I have rhythm, but technically, like, I just can't get the moves. Also, the moves that are choreographed in TikTok dances are not real dance moves.
No, they're not. They're like back in our day.
Yeah, no, like, I went to dance class. Like, Stopping I know pas de bourrée, kickball change. Like, I know the real dance. These are not dance moves. They're body rolls.
Yeah, they're body rolls. And is the woe still a thing? Because I'm not over it yet.
I can't do it.
Yeah. No, that was really good.
It's so hard. Oh my God, you look crazy. That was so funny.
Like, why did I hesitate it for so long? I was like,
no, it's really a hard dance move. Like, you don't ever look stupid, not look stupid.
It's true. And nobody ever has, like, Justin Bieber actually looks pretty good doing it, though.
Some people on TikTok, and those are the ones who made it really far, mastered the art of the woe.
They should do a tutorial for me on that. What else stood out? Did anything else stand out to you on this episode? Or was it, I feel like we hit all the points.
Yeah, I feel like it was a good episode. It was pretty standard.
You know, it was very standard for a week two.
Yeah, Matt is very perfect. Like, he's just does everything right.
Eyes open.
Oh, yes, I did notice that quite a few times.
And it's like not like a eyes wide open. That would be really terrible. But it's like he's relaxed. Like peeking. Yeah.
Yes. So he's like perfect, which isn't always entertaining to watch.
Right.
But I think the girls are, you know, really making up for it. They're a wild bunch.
They really are a wild bunch. We're definitely going back to the like original format of the show with the immaturity level.
Yeah. And I've always felt like, you know, there's two shows that we're watching. One is like the entertainment silliness with the gimmicky editing. And then there's really like the love story. And I hope we definitely have the gimmicky. I hope we get the love story.
Yeah. I totally agree, because the only reason I put up with the gimmicky is because I'm like, okay, this is just all the fun bullshit we have to get through to get to the real love story. And I really want to see a love story out of every season.
Me too. Hardcore.
Yeah. I have two options for you. To wrap this up, we can either play a game, or if you have a really good confession, you can tell me that.
Okay. I have a confession because I was asked to prepare one. And unlike myself in high school, I did my actual homework.
Good for you. Look at you, Regina George, growing up.
I've done your podcast before, and I'm always afraid of repeating my confessions. And I know I've already told one, so I'm not going to say it, but this is more of like a general, it's not necessarily like an incident, but like we talked about in the beginning of the podcast, part of growing up is owning yourself 100%, the good parts and the bad parts. Yeah. And one of my bad parts that I used to be kind of embarrassed about, but now I'm just like starting to own it. I don't know if it's one of those things like you should own, but I am.
Okay.
And that is that I love to pick my nose.
Mm. Okay.
I do. Not in public. Not in public.
Well, no, of course not. But all the time. Like, do you like it? Okay. You like it because it's satisfying?
No. Oh, okay. I like it because I'm a human being whose nose produces like all this stuff. And of course, blowing my nose is a decent option, but it's worth mentioning that blowing your nose like doesn't get into the nooks and crannies. And sometimes you just have to go up with your finger. And of course you should wash your hand after and always have a tissue nearby. But I just think like the stigma behind like picking your nose is gross. Like, and like you didn't do it past kindergarten. Like, I know plenty of adults who pick their nose, and I'm one of them.
Everyone picks their nose. Everyone picks their nose. Everyone pees in the shower.
Yep.
You either pick your nose or you're a liar.
I could not agree more. Some people take it to the next level by having like booger walls, which I don't do.
I mean, I've got a booger graveyard under my seat in my car.
I don't have a car, but if I did, I would have one.
That's where they would go.
No, like that's honest. And I really appreciate you not making me feel weird about it.
No, I won't make you feel weird about any confession. That's my job here as the host to comfort you when you come to me with really embarrassing stories.
Reverend Bristow.
It's really tough to pick your nose with nails like this.
That's tough.
Yeah, because you don't get in the nooks and crannies like you mentioned earlier.
But if you have nails that are too long or sharp, that can be destructive as well.
Yeah, you can really do some damage on your nasal hole.
Tunnel, yeah. Nostril.
Nasal tunnel. Well, that's good. You know what? I respect you for your honesty, and thank you for sharing that with all of us. And I'm sure that other fellow nose pickers from the community will reach out. And
yes, off the Viners who pick their nose. Please, you're not alone. Reach out if you need help.
Yeah, we're here for you.
Just don't do it in public.
No, please. Nobody, everybody knows that.
Not
even in your... Okay, I know I have a booger graveyard, but like not at where people can see you. Like, you got to be flying on a highway with no one around.
I was just going to say, like, if you are stuck in traffic or at a red light, do not pick your nose. People are looking inside your car. They're always looking. But at 80 on a highway, no one can see you.
Yeah, exactly. You got to know the right time. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I could talk to you for hours and hours because it's just so fun. And it's such a good way to end my day. I had a very busy day this morning. I did all this press in Canada. I did I think 12 back-to-back interviews on different radio stations.
Canadian Queen.
Yeah. I love doing my Canadian press, but I was so tired after. And then I got like some sort of burst of energy, I think because I tried to have so much coffee in the morning, that I started organizing my whole house and like cleaned out my fridge and was just going to town. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I have to podcast. And then I was like, wow, this is a really pleasant way to end my day. It just felt so productive. And I'm ending it on such a high note.
I love you. Thank you for having me on your podcast to let me shell my book, girlwithnojob.com/book, available anywhere books are sold, the audio, ebook, and print versions. Oh, and if you buy the print version, there's a little photo insert with pictures of me that I mentioned, like moments reference in the book. So I really like the hardcover, but whatever floats your boat. And Caitlin, you'll be getting a copy to your house soon.
Can I get the picture kind?
Of course.
Okay, I really want the picture. Kind of, I was going to say tell everybody where, but you did your whole spiel and tell
everybody
else.
I don't need to be told.
Tell everyone else where they can find you on Instagram, on podcasts, on everything that you're doing otherwise.
So I do a daily podcast Monday through Friday on YouTube and anywhere you can get your podcast called The Morning Toast, hosted with me and my sister, pop culture, bachelor, reality, TV, recaps, everything of the sort. And I'm Girl With No Job. You can follow me anywhere that floats your boat at Girl With No Job.
I love it. Thank you so much. And let's talk soon. Maybe another bachelor recap in our future.
I would love that. Love you.
I'm Caitlin Bristow. Your session is now ending.
Thanks for listening to Off the Vine, Grape Therapy. Tune in to hear new minisodes every Thursday and check out new full-length episodes every Tuesday exclusively on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
Who's not with OTV?
Do you see the deals on these brands? Of course you can't. This is a podcast. But when you go to Ross this spring, you'll see brands you know at prices you love. We're talking all the shoes, hues, and ooze at 20 to 60% off department store prices. Go see the savings at Ross.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.